He was a street chef. He used to run numbers in the barrio. He was the most wanted man in Jalisco. The Sinaloa Sun.
Excuse me. I believe you're listening to the Big Homie Podcast with Sean Latham.
Sup, man? You already noticed your boy, Jose, Ricky Rose. You know what I'm saying? Are you rocking with my boy, Sean Latham, on the Big Homie Podcast?
I don't know where. I don't know why. But you're listening to the Big Homie Podcast with Sean Latham.
It's the Big Homie Podcast, brought to you by 3Chi.
The year's 2008. I was super hungry. It was 2:38 in the morning, and I had hit a 5-gallon gravity bong out of a tub about 12 times. I was living downtown L.A. Let's go get some tacos. Yeah! What's up, homie? Hey, you got a sweet-ass taco truck right here. All right, let me get 10 carne asada tacos. Okay, con todo. Tu conoces, you know me, man. Con todo, always con todo, bro. Mota todo noche, yeah. You can tell? Si. Y más bueno, es más bueno. Si, okay. ¿Cuánto cuesta? Para 10 tacos. Está bien. Thanks, man. Hey, it's a war zone out here, bro. You guys are fucking... Thanks for doing this, though. It's worth it. It's worth coming out here for the tacos, man. I like that helmet on you. It looks clean. Oh, my God. This guy's even doing audio sketches on the new Big Homie Podcast, formerly Guns Blazing Podcast. Hey, guys. What's going on? Appreciate you guys still listening along, hanging out with me. Todd will be still coming on the podcast here probably once, twice a month. He's got a full-time gig now in the true crime sector, okay? I'm going to keep it moving, though. You guys are awesome. I love doing this podcast, and, I love being an idiot. And since you guys listen, I might as well keep on going, okay? Out the gate on this one, I got some crazy interviews on this episode for you guys. But I want to talk a little food and beverage out the gate here, okay? It's early winter. I'm going to go with some early winter eats. First of all, we're going heavy soup all winter long. What are you doing? Okay, you want to regulate temps, keep it up high. You know, you want to keep your hearty levels at that perfect amount. You know what I mean? Plenty of soup, plenty of leftovers, plenty of time to get fatter before you can drop the pounds. You know what I mean? Before spring hits. Out the gate right now, for me, I got a couple of soups that I'm going with hard right now. Mexican chicken noodle, okay? You gotta go hard with the Mexican chicken noodle. And the recipes will be in the show notes. I love saying that. I love saying that it's going to be in the show notes. But with the Mexican chicken noodle, I made that here at my house. And my girl's family was here, and they were eating it up. And I think the key is out the gate with the Mexican chicken noodle, you're going to want to just go ahead and relax. You know, like, this is going to be a few-hour operation. I like to, you're going to chop up all your jalapeno. You're going to chop a bunch of onion, a bunch of garlic. You know, you're going to pop that in your pot first. You're going to cook that down. You know, brown it up a little bit. Get that, put some olive oil in there. You know, get some flavor going in that oil with some jalapeno. De-seed that jalapeno, too. You don't need to be frying up the seeds early on. You're still going to add more jalapeno later. Then you start putting in your typical chicken noodle soup vegetables, you know, carrots, celery. You're going to cut those up real nice and drop them in there. Then you're going to cook those down. It's going to smell so good, too, in your house. It's going to smell so good. With the garlic cooking, with the jalapeno, the onion. Then you got the carrot and the celery rocking in there. I go even parts here. I think water, chicken stock, or chicken broth. I think I use broth. I forget. I always get those confused. I think I went broth. I think I went like 5 cups broth or 5 cups water. I might have went 5 cups broth. I know that one box of broth is 4 cups. So I think I just at least did a box of each. I went with like an elbow. You know, you can go with any kind of like smaller macaroni, like an elbow mac, or, you know, I don't want to go full. But don't forget, depending on how long you plan on keeping the soup, the noodles are going to keep expanding as you keep them in the juice in the refrigerator. Every time you bring it out to make more, the noodles get bigger. So I went with like a small elbow style mac macaroni. Now with my chicken for this recipe, and I'm simmering all this stuff at the moment. You know, the noodles go in almost last, but I'm simmering. You know, I've added my can. Don't forget, you got to throw your can a little fire roasted tomato in there. You know, get some flavors going with that. You know, I add. You know, we're going heavy cumin on this recipe. Garlic powder, salt, and pepper, obviously. Always go heavy pepper. That's what we do at all things that I'm involved in is heavy pepper. You know, and then you let that simmer for a while, you know. Make sure you guys get a bag of key limes. If they don't have those, get regular limes. Now, with my chicken on this, you could easily boil the chicken. You could cook the chicken in your chicken soup. We baked the chicken, though. Like, me and my lady baked it. You know, I threw some cumin on the chicken. I threw salt, pepper, you know, obviously a little olive oil first. I baked the chicken, I think, about 20 minutes at like 425. You know, even if the chicken doesn't cook completely thoroughly, it doesn't matter. You're just going to chop it up and put it in your boiling-ass soup. So let's go heavy, you know, and then obviously at the end, don't forget, you're going to have to need the garnish on this soup is where it's at. You know, and also a poblano, pop a poblano in there. And don't forget, the recipe on this is in the show notes. You don't want to have and if you want to get a little spice kick, little kick going, drop a whole jalapeno in there and a whole poblano and just let it cook in there. If you want to spice up anything, chili, anything, you don't need to add a bunch of spices. Just toss a whole jalapeno in that bitch and let it work. The garnish is where this one's going to be where it's at. You know what I mean? After you pop your noodles in at the very end, you know, you put some cilantro in there, give it a nice little mix. Then you're going to want to have some red onion chopped up nice and fine. You're going to want to have some cilantro chopped up nice and fine. You're going to want to have some limes cut up, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to pinch it off. You know, you're pinching the onion right on top of your soup. You're pinching the cilantro right on top of your soup. You're coming in with the lime juice, bro, a little bit of splish splash hot sauce, or make sure you grab a bite off of that jalapeno that's still in the pot. You know what I mean? That's just a good bowl of soup right there, bro. Get a big-ass bowl, too. This is hearty. When I fuck with soups, I don't make soups on the appetizer level. Like, I'm going to have me a little bit of, a little lobster bisque. Nah, kid. I want a hearty, fat-ass bowl of soup. Like, I'm on day 27 on a fucking cross-country run in the 1700s, dude. My second soup for early winter eats on this episode, I'm definitely going Zuppa Toscana, Olive Garden soup all day long. You're going to want to go heavy Olive Garden soup. Listen, if you haven't tried their Zuppa Toscana, it's the sausage and kale soup. It's the cream-based sausage kale soup, okay? I know if you haven't made it past the pasta fagioli, you know, if you haven't made it past their Zuppa Toscana, I'm sorry, that's what this one I'm making. There's one other one. They have Zuppa Toscana, they have pasta fagioli, and they have minestrone. Yeah, that's the vegetable one. Zuppa Toscana though, all day. You know, it's cream. When I say cream based, I mean it's you know, you're getting chicken stock in there, you're getting water, you're just adding a cup of cream. You know what I mean? To a cup or two of cream, and making this up nice. This is another soup you're gonna want to drop in your garlic and your onion, and bacon. Chop up some bacon real nice. Drop it in there and cook that down with the onion and garlic at the bottom of the pan. You know, your pot. Then you're gonna come in, you know, with your other stuff. This soup is nice. Don't forget the recipe for Zuppa Toscana. It's in the show notes, okay? Also, I'm going heavy pot pies right now. I'm a fat horse, okay? I got my hoofs shined up nice. I got that new thing that goes in your mouth, around your arm, where the people that ride on your back hold on to. I got one of those fresh off the lot. A fresh-ass saddle. I'm a fat horse this winter. I'm going chicken pot pie. I already knocked this out. I didn't. You can make them. I've made them. They're not hard to make. It take a decent little bit of a little bit of time. Just go to the nicer, whiter. Go to the rich white neighborhood grocery store. That's where you want to go. Trader Joe's or some shit. But I went to Delicious Orchards in New Jersey. No free ads, but they got a hell of a pot pie. You could eat that. You could eat off that thing for 3-4 days, no problem, depending on how much weed you're smoking. You know what I mean? You know, they do chicken pot pies as soup. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. There's a restaurant in New York. It's a chain sandwich spot. They got chicken pot pie soup, and they use the crust for the crumbles of the from the crust as a crumble that they put on top of the soup. It's really good. I don't have that in the show notes, but you feel free to Google chicken pot pie soup and do work. All right, on the beverage side, there's two cocktails right now we're running with. Number one, espresso martinis all day. I'm going right after this recording. I'm going to get some fucking espresso martinis. With a nice espresso, you know what I mean? A fresh espresso. Pop it in nice, make it a nice cocktail in there, get a good shake on it with a nice foamy top. You could, you know, just enough foam to allow those coffee espresso beans to float right there for presentation. Jesus. It's just a good, good selection. So if you're at a nice restaurant, just go banging on an espresso martini. Or you know what? If you're a vodka drinker, you usually order vodka soda, things like that, vodka, whatever. Go big this time. Get a fucking vodka martini straight up, bro. It's go time with the vodka martinis. If you're an olive person, get it. Get it in. I'm not. Give me the twist. But Italian sodas, too. With vodka all winter. Who cares, bro? If you're not sipping on espresso martinis, obviously you got to get the job done. You got to get 0 to 100. If you're at the house, stop at one of those grocery stores where the soda, most places carry it now because it's getting so popular. But Italian sodas, I go with grapefruit and blood orange are me and my lady's favorite too. And I'll drink that with vodka. And, you know, in order to make those last longer or go farther, you could still mix soda water in. So go like, you know, you got your however much you count your vodka. I like a nice 10 count. And then I go one part soda water and then one part Italian soda. And then you give it a little lime, you know, a little lime on top. And that's going to be a nice cocktail. I'm telling you right now. If your ladies, you know, a lot of times ladies will, they don't, you know, they're a little more picky. They don't just go trying everything like we do. So they, a lot of times they'll be caught in kind of like what's that word when you're in between here in heaven and in earth? It starts with a P. It's called purgatory. Sometimes your lady is in a cocktail purgatory. She's kind of tired of the old shit she's been drinking, but she doesn't really know what drink she could confidently move to going forward. If she's in the vodka range, go hit it with the Italian sodas, boys. Go get the Italian soda. I'm telling you, the grape, they got the other flavors too, pomegranate and shit like that. You know, other fruits we don't eat. You mix that in there, it's gonna be a home run. I'm telling you. You're probably gonna end up buying a fucking couple of boxes of that shit because you're gonna be tired of going to the store. And on the beer side of things, until I get a beer sponsorship, I'm going Keystone all year long, bro. Okay, I've given other beers a shot. You know, when it comes to baseball style beers, which, you know, that's your Coors Lights, Bud Lights, you know what I mean, Miller Lights, Keystone Lights. I'm going Keystone. I'm gonna commit right now to 5 cases of Keystone this year. So that's what I'm gonna do. All right, let's keep it moving. That was food and beverage. A little food and bev. You know what I want you guys to do? I want you guys to send me your fake morning routines. Got to be under a minute, but don't get too out of control and fucking send me over Beowulf part 2, okay? Hit me with a fake morning routine because this is my morning routine if you guys weren't aware. I'm awoken by my giraffe, little Jeffrey. He pokes his head into my third floor ledge there. I have a third floor open ledge concept in my master bedroom. He'll lick my face a few times until my staff feeds him his 10 pounds of wheatgrass. That shit ain't cheap to grow. I walk about 10, 15 yards over to my natural spring waterfall on the backside of my property. I fill up my kettle and I go make some coffee, you know? Then I sit down on my team, go over national headlines while I'm being briefed, you know, by my team of former chiefs of staff, ex-CIA, as well as other highly, you know, security clearance level personnel. We chat with world leaders, roll dice to see who gets to go to space next with Elon. I mean, it's not the best morning, but it's better than average, I'd say, a smidge. So you guys tell me your morning routines. Play a little bit of that Too Short in the background. A lot of people don't even know who that is. They don't know about the old school Too Short. You guys might know on some dumb shit, some new shit. So get your shit together. That's Too Short right there, rocking in the background, bro. Go 80s Too Short when it's real. Also, real quick, I want to get off this weekly reminder. I need you guys to stop adding cheese to street tacos, man. Seriously. It's getting out of control, bro, with the pictures, with the cheese on the street tacos. Every dish on a Mexican menu has cheese. If you want tacos with cheese, order a crispy taco. Take your hoe ass to Taco Bell. Ask your mom to make an Ortega taco run. Get you some ground turkey, bro. A legit street taco is nothing but tortilla, protein, which would be steak, chicken, or any of the other 48 meats they make at taco stands on the West Coast. Lime, cilantro, onion, y salsita, todo away. That's it. No more, bro. You want cheese? Get something else. Get an enchilada. Get some burrito. Get yourself a burrito. Get yourself a chimichanga. Okay? Get any of that. Just keep your goddamn cheese off the street taco. And I don't want to hear you hardos talking about, we like cojita cheese. Yeah, we know, hardo. I'm not saying take cojita off of a strong fish taco or some sort of pork taco occasionally. You know, there's some recipes out there for the cojita. I'm not hating on the cojita. I'm talking about shredded cheese, American style, guys. You know what I'm talking about. Don't try to hit me with a curveball on Twitter no more. Just please, man. Let's 2020, the year of no cheese on the street taco.
Straight from the west, Oakland is the best, baby, it's so fresh.
All right, look, regardless of whatever side of the political spectrum you sit on, me having the opportunity to sit with these guys and just kind of chop it up and talk to him, I was going to do it. I know a lot of people hate the right. I know a lot of people hate the left. But there was no shot I wasn't going to take the opportunity to have Donald Trump and Barack Obama on my podcast, especially on the opening episode of The Big Homie. You know what I mean? So, if you're against either one of them, just relax. It's a good interview. If you're... just be open-minded for a change here, guys. All right? It's not all left or right. Like, let's just forget about politics for a second. Let's hear these guys talk. So let's go ahead and get into my interview and my talk with Donald Trump and Barack Obama. Hey, guys, a little quick backstory here on this interview. He was talking about his golf carts, and I loved it. And I was just trying to get in on it. I was trying to hit record and get my shit to going quick as possible. But just a little backstory. That's what we jump into this interview. He's just going balls to the wall with golf carts. But why don't you trump up your golf carts? It's a big deal, right? That first nice of all, cart.
First of all, I'll tell you, and this is true, I had the best, fastest golf cart ever made for me. So I got from one end of you know where they say,
what about a Tesla golf cart? Would you do that?
I don't really do. I like gas. I like the fossil fuels. I like I like the gas. I think Elon Musk is huffing his own farts or something. I think it's dumb to everybody drive a Tesla. I mean, more power to them, though. They're American. I like that. That's good. At least it's not made in China. Although they're trying to build a plant in China. And I'd say, Elon, what are you doing? You're making such a great product here. You want to take it to the Chinese? It's crazy. So that's something we're going to have to look into and deal with.
Hey, no free ads. No free ads.
Elon, in the future, selling to the Chinese.
Do you have a favorite golf cart company?
Golf cart company. No, they're all shit.
Oh, really?
They're all garbage. They never make one that is smooth and fast and the battery lasts long. So maybe Elon can make a better golf cart and I'll look into it.
What about a golf cart with like a nice, you know how they have tank wheels, but if you take away the rust, you know, the rough edges and make it smooth enough for
Democrats will never let you have the tanks. They'll never let you have the tanks, even though they have them for their police. They'll never let you have the tanks on the golf course. And I think even the tank tread with the big rubber would even be better for the grass. You can have seed planters.
Yeah, a smooth tank wheel.
And I'm, first of all, nobody cares more about the environment than me. And that's true. So I say we have seeders on the treads and we can plant grass seeds while it goes. If it rains or the sprinklers come on, you're patching up the grass end of the day.
How about this though? Now, a lot of people say that although you have a wonderful hand, you know, you're very good at golf. They say that, you know, and listen, he is here today so we can have a live debate on this. But President Obama was also obviously a Democrat, but a wonderful golfer himself. And we want you to, first of all, do you have anything to say about his
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes.
Obama plays basketball. Okay.
You see him on the course?
He plays basketball. No, I've seen him on the court. Court. He's the, you know, he tells people he has a jump. I don't play that. Okay. That's for the guys jumping around the New York Knickerbockers. I don't.
Now, listen, I see how you operate. Know that you're very, you know, I know that you're not a commander room, so I'm going to ask you though, because I see what happened in the debates. Like, you really just,
I can command
over
anyone,
you, and I,
really,
I,
nobody.
But I want you to know, when Obama comes in, I want you to also let him talk a little bit.
Well, I don't like him.
Yeah, but he's also a golfer. Let's take away the politics.
I have no problem with Barry. I really don't. I think he's a nice man. He's nice. I mean, I think some of his policies were disgusting, but I'll tell you what, he's no Hillary. I mean, that woman is sick, you know?
Yeah.
Sick. So.
Mr. Trump, you've obviously taken your time. We appreciate you. Now we're going to go ahead and bring in Barack Obama. Let's get a little golf talk here. We're trying to step away from politics in this whole interview here. You know, this is really a foreign. I mean, honestly, I feel like I'm a guy bringing together Palestine and Israel here. Now, Mr. Obama.
Same thing. Let's not get carried away. I mean,
thank you for coming on the Big Homie Podcast. Thank you, by the way, first of all.
I mean, you know, eats McDonald's and drinks Diet Coke. I mean, it's not really Israel, Palestine.
All right. Well, first of all, what's your handicap right now? What did you shoot the last time you golfed?
I thought the other guy was handicapped. Hi-o!
hey, we're trying not to shoot shots off the bow right now.
Shoot shots. I feel like I'm back in Chicago. Hey, what do you got drinking over there, chef? Should I call you the chef? Are you the chef?
You can call me chef. You can call me big homie. You can call me $20 chef. You can call me 20. You can call me 2-0.
Michelle,
call me Mac.
Michelle told me she loves you.
By the way, my fiance reached out to Michelle. That's how we kind of got you looped in here. My lady is also, she has a public relations background.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Michelle said, you got to do the chef show with the chef.
With the big homie.
Well, he said he's got a new thing, a big homie. And I said, what bigger homie than 4-4?
Let's go.
Number 44.
Now, think about
number 44 is the best. Okay?
Heck, Aaron.
Mr. October, Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson.
44.
You know, and okay. I always think when I,
Barack
whenever
Obama,
I think
44 caliber killer, not really good.
Let's think about this.
Impactful.
44 in Espanol, 44. That's always a great, like, you got the 44, you got the, you got that.
I don't
really know. Phonetically,
I have to translate that. I don't think you're saying that correctly. I'm not really too sure.
All right. How is.
First of all, who is talking to this clown guy?
We're trying to just get a little golf talk in here.
No, I want to get
Trump,
in it. I think we should have Jay Hogg come in, okay, and regulate this. Jim Ross, for those who don't know. And and we should get it settled. We should have your friend, Patty McAfee, who a great guy. I love that guy. And, you know, let's get it on. I've been all over the world, WWE. This guy plays basketball with Kendrick Lamar. I mean, come on. Who do you really want to see? I want tables, ladders, chairs match, Barry.
Bro, who doesn't want that, bro?
I think this guy's hopped up on Adderall and doesn't know what he's saying. First of all, dance around circles him. Look at how tubby he is. You know?
You
want to see
4-4? Hey,
four, you don't want to see 4-4 in the ring. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
Obama.
Kick in the door, wave in the 4-4. Okay?
if you spank Trump's butt with the baby powder, go flying everywhere.
His butt, I'll smack his face, bitch slap his ass. Back
but
and
you
forth.
Know, because people say he wears diapers because of that big fat ass. If you think
first
you slap
all,
him
first
with
of
him,
all, you wear
with
diapers.
A puff of my baby powder.
You wear diapers. I don't need to wear diapers. I just pull my thing out and I piss on anything. Because why? I can. 45 came after 44.
45, you got a hammer? You got a hammer? 45, you got a hammer.
I mean, people say very, very great things about it. I never have to lie or embellish. I just let the people do the talking.
As a guy, listen, the most money I ever made was like not that much, right? You've spent like when you paid off a few
millions,
ladies, not till they're free, right?
Millions, hundreds of millions.
How wild does it feel for it not to phase you to pay off some porn star $160K just on the arm real quick to not talk to the media?
First of all, if you go and look what happened, because she breached it, she had to pay all of my court costs, okay? Mm-hmm. Which we took her to court for a long time, and it cost her about $260,000. Yeah, so now I'm up $100,000.
She had to pay your legal fees, right?
So now I'm up $100,000 on this whore, and
Is this how it works? Wait, hold on. You pay her $160, right? Through Cohen and some.
But then she loses, right? Because she's a loser.
How much did she have to pay?
She was a loser before I even, and I didn't even do it. I talked to her for maybe an hour, okay?
Yeah.
She did nothing. She was gross. And we had no sex, and I paid her to leave. She signed an NDA, and then she broke the contract, so she's a whore and a pig.
So how much did you make off? You made $100K at the end of the day.
And then I sued her.
Yeah. Well, after you paid her, obviously, through the show companies, she's up $160, but then she violates the NDAs.
No, but then her
court.
But then her lawyer ran off with the money, never paid her, and then he went to jail. You believe that?
That's right. What's his name? I forgot his name.
Avenetti. Guys are stupid.
Daddy never paid her, took the dough, tried to fucking blackmail Nike.
But that's what happens when you're a whore for money. You get fucked.
Wow. Hey, Obama,
I had zero scandals. 8 years, 2 terms. Okay? So you want to have a conversation about that? I don't know what this fat idiot is talking about, paying whores and porn stars. I don't got to worry about that. I had Missy Elliott having a goddamn concert. You know, I can't relate. Different level, homie.
Yeah, but you also had drone strikes on babies. So.
All right. Now, that was a wild ride, huh? Jesus. I want to thank former Presidents Obama and Trump for both coming on here. I'm glad that we could come into a, you know, a safe place, if you will, for a couple of guys like that to be hanging out together. I also want to thank comedian Carl Spitali for being everybody on this show besides me. You know what, though? Let's get into some really important stuff, guys. I'll tell you what, guys. There's a lot of sharks out there. A lot of sharks. They're in the water. They're trying to get us. Trying to get at our financials. They're trying to get at our privacy. But guess what? There is one shark that has your back. And that's Surfshark VPN. Surfshark VPN keeps your online identity safe by encrypting all the information sent between your device and the internet. Keeps your personal data protected from big companies and cyber criminals. We know they're out there. They're stealing trillions a year, but not from you. Because see, a VPN swaps the real location of your device with a new one. It's like changing your IP address. This way you can virtually travel to any country around the globe, okay? And Surfshark has 3,200 plus servers in 65 countries. We're talking about access to unblocked content libraries and streaming services from other countries. Like Netflix, Europe, hello. All you need to do is show up, show out with your brand new VPN. Listen, we're talking about bypassing censorship here everywhere. Surfshark liberates your internet by unblocking blocked websites and bypassing geo restrictions, okay? Here's the deal. This is a super deal, actually. You don't want to be raw-dogging free public Wi-Fi at these airports. You don't know what's going on, guys. And I'm here to help you guys. And so is Surfshark. You're going to go ahead and get 83% off right now with this promo, with this promotion. 83% off. And guess what else? That's not all. 3 free months for free, just extra on top of the deal. And if that's not good enough, if 83% off and 3 free months isn't enough, they're giving you back, okay? They're giving back a 30-day money-back guarantee. I don't know how you give it back, but you know what I'm saying here, guys. It's called a 30-day money-back guarantee. That means there's no risk involved. You're trying it for free, okay? All you got to do to hook up with this deal is head over to surfshark.deals/gunsblazing. Yes, that's it right there, guys. Head over to write this down. Grab a pen. Surfshark.deals/gunsblazing and use my code gunsblazing to get 83% off and 3 extra free months. Surfshark.deals/gunsblazing. Promo code gunsblazing. 83% off, 3 free months. Money back guarantee. I'm telling you, this is where it's at. Stop raw dogging the internet. You're going to get caught slipping. Don't get jacked. Don't get internet jacked. That's surfshark.deals/gunsblazing. Promo code gunsblazing. All right, we're here live, the Big Homie Podcast, okay? This is the Big Homie Podcast. This is your boy. You know I've lived about 19 lives. You know I know a lot of people. You know, I don't want to name drop, guys. I don't want to sit here and be like, Jesus, another unbelievably legendary human being I'm buddies with. How many legends does this dude know? This guy does nothing but rub shoulders with fucking legends. All right? And this is no different today. You know, was my uncanny ability to figure out a workaround after I left the only cable I needed to fucking record here at this gentleman's home. A quick run to a Best Buy. He said, fuck it, picked up an 85-inch TV while we were in there. I got my 2 USB shitbox mics. I got a little thing here that I didn't need, this other part. I'll take it all back tomorrow anyways. Either way, this man, you know, he's been on, he crushes it week in, week out, day in, day out. I'm actually extremely inspired by this guy. I, you know, a lot of people try to say the internet's for the young, the internet's for the 20s, the internet's for this, the millennials, this, whatever the other one is. This kid is 61 years old, bro, and he goes harder than everybody, okay? Maybe it's the testosterone shots, or maybe it's just how his blood flows. This kid, his lady is laid up right now. Her legs are all fucked up because this man just put in work this morning. And he made her a breakfast and got her flowers all in the same day, okay? This guy invented a whole genre of psych. He just made up his own thing. went big, confused the mob even back in the day.
And now, from Strong Island, New York, maybe 5'10 at the max, 260 on some scales, this guy probably taught Chuck Norris everything he knows. It's Stu, the Source Finder.
We're going to have a nice little conversation here with the absolute legend, Mr. Stu Finder. What's going on, Stu Finder?
After that entrance, I don't know what to say besides feeling amazing, feeling hopeful, feeling positive, feeling blessed. I have the best life in the world. Not Lou Gehrig, not Frank Sinatra. Stu fucking Finder.
You do. You know, I feel like if those guys were around right now, they'd be over here trying to get on your videos, bro.
Well, I will hobnob with the elite forever because I am elite. And what I do every day is try to make people feel better about themselves, feel better about what they do, have a positive outlook on what they're going to be up against. Because as we know, life is rough. Life is very rough. Life is very, very rough. And people's got to, you got to be taught that at a very young age. You got to be willing to work hard and believe in yourself. And failure after failure after failure after failure after failure, you don't lose your enthusiasm. You do the right thing. You only learn from failure. You learn nothing from success, literally. All you do from success is learn how to, you know, not work, spend your money, get hookers, get coke. And, you know, how can that help you? Is it fun? Yes. Does everyone have to do it? Yes. But, you know, you can't do it every single day. So, basically, I've had an upsurge in popularity, in financial ability, in everyone on my dick. Yes. So, it's been an amazing run. And I'm up for the challenge. You know what I mean? I'm going to
listen.
Just step my game up and up and up and up.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that. You know, obviously, a lot of people do realize, you know, obviously, Dave Portnoy knew he watched you back in the day when you had your show on TV, you know, when you were doing this shit, when the internet was nothing but a fucking pipe dream, like going, like hanging out with aliens, right? That's what it was in the 90s. But somehow you were still, you had an unbelievable national operation underway. But you were telling me earlier, you had, in order to make the proper picks to make people want to buy your service, you were getting how many FedEx packages every morning of all the newspapers around the country, so you, their sports section, so you can dive into what their baseball writers are saying, who's hurt? Because you didn't have, you couldn't just get on and find out what's happening in the league. You found out in your newspaper, and obviously if you want to find out about all the teams, you got to have all their newspapers.
Correct. So we're talking 1982, 1983, 1984. What I had to do was make friends with customers in various cities. You know, Philadelphia. Philadelphia was always my top area. My top score phone was in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and then the whole West Coast and Midwest also. But we used to get information from these newspapers that the beat writers would cover the teams. Like, there was no ESPN even then. If, you know, there was nothing. So how would you get that information? So we had people, Federal Express, the newspapers every day, and the beat writers clips every day of what they wrote in the newspapers, and that's how we would keep up on the teams. You know, be yeah. like a week behind pretty much. But then once we followed them, that was like how we did it, you know. People don't realize how easy it is right yeah. now. Pull up the fucking
what you
computer.
Had to do.
But you know, we had to originate that information.
Yeah, I like to ask you about how offshore betting changed your shit. Because obviously for a while it was either Vegas or you knew a bookie and that was it.
Literally, exactly. And that happened like 1991. Dave Budin went to Panama.
Now, what did Dave, can you real quick get us up, like, who's
he
Dave
was one
Budin?
Of the top bookmakers in the country.
Okay.
He always was. He had an elite ability to be a very good bookmaker and basically paid immediately. That was the key. You know, you won, you got fucking paid. And if big people bet big money, that's what they want to hear. And he was the most elite bookmaker in the country.
So he packs up his shit, heads to Panama for some offshore betting operations.
Absolutely. And he had like $4 million in the bank. And then the government came in and put a gun to his head and fucking robbed him. Said, you have no money. Get the fuck out of my country. And that's really what he did.
All right, so he does that. Then you said, then what? So, but obviously you went from being the guy that made the picks and doing, you know, how did that change your business? Because you're not taking bets. So anybody doesn't know anything about betting. Stu Feiner, he picks with his intelligence and his, you know, his avenues and everything that he has in his pocket to make a proper choice on who's going to win a game and who to bet on. He's helping you figure out where to put your money.
So Dave Budin was making so much money and had such an elite vision for offshore sports books because at that time there was no way that you would ever get a license in this country besides Nevada for sports betting. So your only other avenue would be out of the country offshore. And at the time, it was viewed as gray area. It wasn't illegal, wasn't legal. It was just gray. And then obviously you'd have to pay money on the taxes if you're an American citizen. So he moved to Costa Rica.
He moved this whole operation, his whole business idea over to Costa Rica from Panama.
Correct.
He's this one guy basically created the offshore operation.
Correct. And he had a business and then he built it to like a $50 million business and it was killing. It was fucking rocking. And one day he came home and at the Miami airport and got arrested.
Oh, the day you say when he landed, when he come back from Costa Rica.
Yeah, I mean, as he was doing all along and it was okay. But then all of a sudden, the government deemed it illegal what he was doing in any capacity, whether he claimed taxes or not. See, he had a lawyer that stated that if he pays taxes on everything and he abided by the money laundering laws, that it was legal what he was doing because he was paying taxes on the money.
Yeah.
And he was claiming it literally as bookmaking profits from Costa Rica.
Yeah, it's not, if it's illegal over there.
When they arrested him, he was not ready for that because he was told it was legal. Like, he was claiming the taxes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He, you know, the way they found out he claimed it.
What he owes his charge then?
So, no, you can't do that. You cannot be a bookmaker across state lines or federal lines or country lines.
Pigs? Why don't you pigs let us live? Finally, now they're getting their money, they're letting us live.
So what he had to do, excuse me, is sell like a, let's say a $20 million business for like $1 million overnight.
Yeah.
Pay $1 million in taxes, $1 million fine.
Who did he sell his business to, though? Just somebody in Costa Rica?
Somebody that was out of the country.
Correct. Out of the country, yeah.
Correct. As it turned out, he wasn't out of the country, but so to speak. Let's say he was out of the country.
It was that's how it should have gone
correct.
Down.
Correct. And that was it. He was out of that business forever.
And so, but that shit, offshore betting,
fucked
your business
up. So anyway,
so
listen, what happened was this. He was dying in Costa Rica. He was about to go out of business. And I had I owned a list when I bought a score phone business. I bought in 1994 220 score phones.
Can you tell us what a score phone is?
A score phone is a pre-recorded message that you would listen to, and ours was 6 minutes, updated every 15 minutes. And it gave scores of all the teams and a brief analysis, odds of the games, lines of the games, injury reports, team motivational factors.
Each phone was a different team information.
No, well, in other words, it was like a closet that I rented in 220 cities. And I put a T1, which is 28 lines, or up to 50 T1s, which is, you know, 28 times 50, 1,000 lines, in a specific city. Philadelphia was my top city, where I had, like, you know, 2,000 lines.
It's all automated?
Yeah, well, at the time it was, yes everything. It got the actual feed got sent from Atlanta, Georgia. We combined the AP feed with the UPI feed with the blended feed that we created, plus other information that we had that we thought we were watching the games and we could just give you with the quickest score. So it was like a blended feed. So we gave the fastest score in the nation. And then I inundated it with, I had sports books that at the time, then in the mid-90s, became prevalent. 1,000 of them opened. You know, 99% of them went out of business, and the 1% that were really strong made billions of dollars. So I used to charge them. We had two customers that Dave Budin gave me, oddly enough, that we're talking about. They paid me $1.5 million for a 30-second ad at the front of my score phone.
Wow.
So what, we were making
$3 million. Wait, that was like for the, how many times was that ad running for that price tag? Like,
every
what
time,
they get?
Every time you called the score.
Oh, so for the bought, front, it was like an annual contract. They bought
forever.
It with you.
Right, exactly. They were the front 30 seconds.
Yeah, they were the front of
right.
all the
it
calls.
It was like $3 million, but the money was whacked up in a way where it was like, you know, we got like $1 million.
That's
the, it was amazing.
That is awesome.
It was amazing.
Getting ad deals like that. Did you actually go to each of these cities to rent out the spaces and
no,
shit?
No, 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 no.
You had
I
just
bought
people
it,
in town?
I bought it in 1994 from a
oh, it was already out. It was already laid
an
out.
An actual existing business
okay.
that had 12 employees that was getting 48 million calls a year on yeah. 224 numbers, specific numbers throughout the country.
Okay, that's not, all right. That's great.
And, you know, I paid $4.8 million. I wrote $10 million in 4 years. It was valued at like $30 million. And then me and my wife went to France.
How long did you go to France for?
2 weeks.
Nice.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I had, you know, we had like $1,000 lunch for breakfast, $1,000 lunch, $1,000 dinner, all the cheese boards you can, all the,
you know, the dessert boards, as you should.
You know, it was amazing. You know, all five-star everything. It was
you
nuts.
You know, of anybody on the internet, I'm not sure anybody enjoys what they eat as much as you.
No, I love food. Food's love. My mother taught me it.
It sure is. Like, I have found that, obviously, becoming, you
it's
know,
not healthy,
cook
but
over the years.
It is how I believe.
It might not be, but that's, you know, that's why you exercise or whatever. You know, you're always very conscious of that.
No, absolutely. You stuff your feelings with food, and it tastes good. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and you know what else?
You're not guaranteed a day.
It feels good.
If you live over 30, you know, you got to worry about the balls. That's how you look at it.
I made some Mexican.
Nobody's entitled to over 30. Wake the fuck up. I don't know where you live. I don't know who the fuck you think you are, you entitled scumbag.
You piece of shit.
Exactly. If you're living on borrowed time, if you're over 30. Cure cancer already. Stop COVID.
Hey, how about when you came to my show, bro? You brought everybody. You were basically fucking.
Stop erectile dysfunction.
Johnny Carson and shit. You got four boys.
Yep.
You got some straight testosterone. You were dropping loads,
yes.
bro.
33, 30, 26, 22. And odd enough, I took my wife to the prom in 1978. First time we kissed was March 11th at 11:40 at the Farmingdale train station. I kissed her. I actually tongue kissed her. I was yep. a virgin at the time. So is she. We both bled. Then going forward, July 4th, 1978, we were both virgins, bled on my friend's bed, Freddie Shallow.
Oh, Freddie Shallow. Shout out Freddie Shallow.
Shout out Freddie Shallow. Great guy. Got me into this business. Good guy. Really good guy. And like my best friend in 7th and 8th grade, 9th grade even.
So then your lady was hooked from there. That's it. Once you get that stew finder
yeah,
dick, that's a wrap,
you know,
right?
Like, thank God I caught her first and young, because yeah. otherwise, you know, there's no way. You know, who's going to stay with me unless you're probably like a woman under 4'11".
You know, yeah, yeah.
4'5", they love me. But they if are. You're really over 5', now you don't pay attention.
How me. Tall are you?
5'4¾".
See?
If I was 2 inches short, I'd be perfectly round.
You could go down steps like
oh
a fucking beach ball.
I haven't grown literally since August 2nd.
How do you know that? How do you know what day you stop growing?
Because when you stop growing, you remember. It's a curse. It's not something to brag about. Listen, on Long Island... When I was in 7th grade, it was Jim Brown, Jesse Owens, Stu Feiner.
Yeah, I was going to say this.
And then by 8th grade, you never heard from me again, ever.
That's
nothing,
a wrap.
Absolutely nothing.
I just
told people I was going to be rich. And now I am, so I'm right. Fuck you.
Hey, that was cool. Thanks
all
for
you
letting
women
me...
that I wouldn't even, I jerked off because you wouldn't fuck me. Fuck you.
Thanks for letting me swim in your money
fuck
pool.
Fuck you.
I can't believe you have a high dive into a money pool. Like, it splashed 100s when I jumped in.
It's scary.
So I'm at
right
Stu's
now.
House right now. I came out to his compound. And it is a compound. You know, if you watch it, you see all his videos of him filming out here in this fucking compound, bro. Out the Belt Parkway. We're out here. Awesome country out here, bro. You are just fucking chilling. You got your support system. You know what I mean? I love your paintings, your art, everything you got going on in your house. You're such an arty, very artsy dude.
I have a lot of pictures,
a lot of
people, you know,
because like, listen,
I've lived
you
a
can,
long time. I have a long life. I've lived in one place.
I was born in 78. When you're already clapping cheeks.
78. Yeah. So right. Exactly.
So that's how long you've been with your lady.
I was in 11th grade.
43 years you've been with your lady.
Yeah. I'm going to be 61 January 31st.
Oh, let's go.
It's me. It's PFT, who's born January 31st. Uh-huh. All right. Craig Carton, who's born January 31st.
I think Chuck Norris as well.
Okay. Matt Corral, who's born January 31st. the quarterback from Mississippi, got hurt. Now he's going to be probably the first quarterback drafted in the draft because he's amazing. J.D. Hoffman, he's going to be, I think, 13 years old. That's Peter and Nicole's kid. He's going to be, that's the producer of Tierney and Tiki on WFAN. Pete Hoffman, he's the producer of that show.
Yeah.
And Nicole's his stunning wife, and then J.D.'s one of their kids.
You know what I want to talk about?
What?
I want to talk about how hard, like, I would feel like you're telling people where to put their money.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I mean, how often are people just absolutely laying the blame down on you for giving them a pick? Because, like, you know, we were discussing a little bit earlier, you know, you could go in a run of 10, 15 fucking out of, you know, 10 or 15 out of 20, no problem, big money, nice, you know, your $50,000 or $100,000 all-in best bet. But, you can also go on a bad run. And you're just basically saying, listen, the only way you're going to sustain this lifestyle is this your perspective? Is that if you have the bankroll to keep it moving, like it's almost like a small business?
Well, it has to almost be like a hobby because.
And do you, you know, did you game, get over I mean, feeling bad? How does that work? Does it like years balance ago, with I would, the feeling good?
Years ago in the 80s and 90s, we'd be just slugging games and saying, listen, we love these games and we believe they're 100% going to win. Where, you know, from 2000 forward, that's not actually real. You know, yeah. So now it's, you know, and now the transparency is you have to be transparent completely. So, you know, everyone actually knows that or should know that gambling is for the rich to have fun and lose money. You know, the word winning and gambling are never synonymous. They do not go together. Gambling was invented for the rich to have a fun life, mm-hmm. to afford the fruits of the world, the top of the line fruits. But then everybody wanted to gamble. So then now everybody gambles. And now the only hope I'm feeling is that maybe you're going to get crushed at such a young age that you're going to realize how bad gambling is as far as trying to make money. Yeah. Now, having fun, it's amazing. It's the best ever. I love it. I live for it. I live for that energy. Mm-hmm. I live to be on the edge, you know, winning the game in the first quarter, down in the second, dead in the third, lost it all in the fourth, came back on a miracle at the end of the game. You know, that's phenomenal. That's a roller coaster. I love that. Mm-hmm. And most people that gamble love that too. So that's fun. But as far as it has to be put in its proper perspective. And let's say if you're betting $100,000 a game, you should be betting $10,000 a game.
Yeah. Well, it's because people start to play the catch up.
You know, let's say you're betting $10,000 a game. You should be betting $1,000 a game.
Yeah.
Let's say you're betting $1,000 a game. You should be betting $100 a game. Let's say you're betting $100 a game. You should be betting $10 a game. Yeah, but Stuart, it's no fun at 10. Well, fuck you. I don't give a fuck. But why piss away money? You know, yeah. Why lose money? You know, so I'm hoping that the youth of America, now that it's legal in 18 states, as far as over the internet, it's legal, and it's legal, I think, in 30 states overall, but not, you know, over the internet, that people learn to keep it as like going to a movie, going to a show, mm-hmm. enjoying life, you know? And, you know, what I do for a living is I'm better than you on your best day. So that's pretty much how it is.
And obviously you're not words, God.
Let's
not
say, no. Let's say, I mean, it's 54.
You're fucking close to God, though, I'll tell you that.
It's 54% to break even. But with me, it's probably closer to 60% I got to hit because of what I charge.
Yeah.
So in other words, but, you know, so I'm going to grind it out. I mean, that's I have to almost hit 60% to grind it out with my fees that I'm charging.
Hey, who'd you pick up the Cardinals-Rams last week, this past week, and play on the last game?
I had the Rams, and they buried them. I thought that was pretty easy. You know, Cowboys was my number one play. Rams was my number two. So that's how it went. So I lost my number one, and I did good on all the others. I went 5-0 on the Barstool Sports Advisors show. You know, I won the best bet there with the Bengals. And then I went on a nice little run. I hit the Sunday night parlay with the Chiefs in the over. And then I had the Rams, I think, in the under.
Okay.
So I hit both of those parlays.
Nice.
And so it negated Cowboys as my best bet. I want to be transparent. It wasn't like, you know, that fucking game hurt me.
That was a wild one.
Oh, well, they did just such a choke
absolute
team.
Shit show at the end there. Frisco with the fucking QB sneak up the middle.
You knew you were dead from the second that game started.
I really enjoyed the Dan Orlovsky breakdown of that whole operation, of that last play. Is the, you know, I guess I talked to a lot of my buddies who have dads.
Oh, wait, so let me just, can I bring back to, so Dave Budin, so Dave Budin's dead in Costa Rica. Let me just wrap this up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I sent out 250,000 schedules. My father-in-law, Sandy's father, was running the mail operation every 2 weeks. And that schedule consisted
of... A newsletter?
No. That schedule consisted of the Las Vegas rotation for a two-week period of the games. And that's the schedule they were listed in. And then games were never canceled. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They weren't for an act of God or a bomb. You know, like, you know, you're not canceling yeah. games. So you could, you know, you could plan out 2 weeks and the actual rotation. So, for example, when you were betting when, you know, when I was a kid in the 80s and you called a phone number, you had to get you. They gave you when you said, can I have the line? And they would give you like 20 lines in a row. How do you write them down? Well, you would have to have a rotation that when they go, you know, Penn State 7, Miami 4, Alabama 11, Oklahoma 12, that has to make sense to you. So I sold a book, and that book gave you the schedule of how the rotation went, the games that were played. So you could put in your bets.
Yeah.
You could put in your lines. When you called your bookmaker and he spit out the line very quickly. Let's say you wanted the line at 10-1. He's like, he has phones going off the hook. He's like, hey, listen, you know, you better have that order right. So that was very important. So I put an ad for his casino offshore, and it made him overnight. Made like $1 million.
Wow.
Like, well, people, you placed
an ad where?
People post
on your lines?
I put it in my schedule.
Oh, yes, in your schedule. Yes, your schedule.
Because I sent out 250,000 schedules every 2 weeks, and all it was the schedule of the games. But it was in a little book. It was a little, like, even smaller than an 8.5 by 11. Maybe it was like 6 by, maybe it was like 5 by, you know, 6 by 9 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just a little book, and you would open it up, and I put an ad for him in there. And people posted up $1 million.
Wow.
$1 million from being balls broke, nothing in the bank, thinking about coming home, tail between your fucking legs.
Oh, I love those stories, bro.
And he built it up to a $1 trillion business.
Jesus.
Not his business, but the industry. But his was worth like $50 million when they busted him.
So now, obviously, there's even more of a shift, because I think that it's pretty clear now that your persona as who you are, you know, as Stu motherfucking Finer, is almost it's your personality. Has your personality, did it outgrow your actual betting operation, or not your betting operation, but your advising operation?
Well, listen, I've been the most full of shit person in the entire life, my whole life, because I'm a salesman, I'm a comedian. I'll say anything for a joke. I exaggerate. There's an exaggeration factor in everything I do. That's how I roll. Everybody knows that. You know what I mean? Can't take me at, you know, at my word, you know, I mean, in other words, you know the deal. I'm trying to be funny. But now I'm actually the smartest guy in the room, because I've been doing this for 40 years, and now everybody wants to know what to do, how to do
yeah.
it. And I've seen it all, done it all, you know. I bet heavy from like 82 to 95.
Yeah, when did you stop betting?
I stopped betting heavy in 95. I stopped really betting in 97, 98, 99.
Well, what did you end up stopping?
$4 million.
You lost $4
million? Yeah, probably $1 million betting and $2 million casino games.
Wow, you were just fucking, see, what's then, your game? What's your casino then, game?
See, then dice and roulette and baccarat. I never played blackjack because it was just way too hard.
Yeah, the swings are out of control.
It's a grind. I could yeah. never, you know, I could always give back my profits. But
how's your craps?
They used to give me credit.
Yeah.
So like if I lost my first $100,000 credit line, I can get a second one. And I can get a third. I could bury myself.
Yeah, they just let you sit there.
Right. And they
here's your
me.
Weights and just keep
and
on
they
swimming.
They let me because they knew I could pay it back.
Yeah.
But like in the 80s, you could take out credit lines and just not pay them.
Really?
And they can't, it just wouldn't even matter. But then, you know, all of a sudden it mattered. So you had to pay back everything. But
people were just skipping
like,
out on monster listen, lines of credit in the 80s?
I used to like putting like 10 or 20 on the line and 100 behind, you know, 80 behind, and like having every number jammed up and every number on the board jammed up. We would just, you know, have like 200,000 on the table. Like everything my life was worth was on a dice roll.
That's insane. Yeah, what was the largest dice roll you ever won and lost?
130 winning, 240 losing.
You won $100,000 on a fucking roll of dice before? $130,000 at a craps table?
My wife, a couple of times, rolled like 3 into 20 for me rolling.
She did, like, say it again. She did what?
Starting with 3,000, we ended with 20. Yeah. Made 17,000. She got hot. She made like 7 or 8 passes in 3 different numbers. It's
just hitting the numbers each before each pass.
Yeah. So you grind it out, grind it out, grind it out, and then hit the number. Grind it out, grind it out, grind it out, hit the number. Yeah. But every grind, you're making money, you know.
Yeah.
She's hitting 10s, 2-1, you know, shitting, you know, whatever, 9s and 5s, you're getting back $1.40, you know.
What a rush that is.
Yeah.
As a couple
even out the 6 and 8s, fucking... $1.20, you're getting back. You know, you're getting money back. You know, how could you lose? You know what I'm saying? You hit a 4, you hit a 10, you get lucky, you hit 2-1.
How
back.
Electric was the dot? I can't imagine how electric a craps table would be when you
hitting
for 130K.
No, it's not believable. It's not believable.
Because I've been at a table where we're only hitting for 400 or some 500.
All right, so how about this?
It's electric.
If you ever read my book, Betcha I Can, right? Okay. So in that book, I talk about it. Where balls broke, and I have my last $50,000 marker in Atlantic City Live. So I take a plane on a Tuesday, only knows about
this. This is your last marker?
Only knows about this is my sister-in-law. And I go there, and we're like 17,000 short payroll. So I take the whole 50,000 out immediately when I get there. I take a plane right from a Republic airport.
Yeah.
Fucking land there, take a taxi right to the fucking casino, get out, bang, I'm in. Take the whole 50,000 out, just wait there looking at the table, and people are grinding. People are grinding at the crap table. There's like 7 or 8 people there, and they're not playing for any money, $20, $50. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I just like see all of a sudden this person makes a fucking, hits 5 numbers and makes their number. Okay. I immediately come right back in. I put 3,000 on the pass. I pick fucking put 500 across the board on every number. Uh-huh. And now let's go.
Yeah.
And I immediately, they establish a number. And then I back it up with max odds. So the first, I went 7 straight trips. I crapped out the 7th trip. But 6 trips, I made like 130 grand total. I made like 18 to 20 per trip. And that's what we needed for payroll. And that was fucking, I went like 6 weeks. It was like magical. I went like 6 weeks in a row. It was like a fucking movie. It really was. Like, you know, it was great. Got off the plane, fucking took the whole marker out. Waited for someone on the table that looked like they can get hot. I watched one of their rolls, but if they were able to make like 6 numbers and then their number, I'm on them right at it, right now. Let's go. They're either going to wipe me out quick or I'm going to lose. But, you know, and I got lucky. And it showed that if you, like, I was only there certain times for 10 minutes. Because God forbid the number they established was 4.
Yeah.
Now I got 2-1 on the back. I'm fucking pounding the, you know, behind the lines as max as possible. Right out of the box, man. I could have the whole 50,000 in action, but I never actually did until the 7th trip where I lost it all. I would only really like be in action like 10 or 20 grand. Never go in. And then these people would just make numbers, then make the pass number. It's fucking great.
It is wild. You can't sit and
I couldn't
observe the
rolling,
craps table.
Though. What?
You could see like, all right, I'm hopping in here.
They would underpay me like 600 and 500, and I fucking caught these son of a bitches. That's how sharp I was. Yes. It was as if I was on like,
and I, and you know what? There's
like
not
a
an easier game.
Drug.
There's not an easier game to do that than craps with the way they're playing with the chips and the 2.5 odds and all that shit and the, all the increments.
No, I was
the increments
on
work.
Point for every penny. You have to be life or death. You have to know what you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Can't be like, hey, you know, pay me whatever. You have to look at everything. You have to know that they just paid you exactly what you were supposed to get paid. You know, I don't give a fuck who's, but you know.
Is it wild? You're still going right now at 61, like you're as hungry as you were at 21.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm busier than ever right now because now my life, like everything is in my wheelhouse. Like I'm just absolutely killing. Like there's no reason why for the rest of my life I'm not going to be able to make like $500,000 to $1 million on shout outs, on Stu Finer shout outs.
By the way, if you're looking to get a shout out from the big homie Stu Finer, just go to StuFinder.com. Is that it?
BeLikeStu.com.
BeLikeStu.com.
BeLikeStu.com. Yeah, all my merchandise and the shout-outs are there. But the shout-outs are amazing. They're in my wheelhouse. It's like, you know, people do these cameos, and people who have cameos are people whose careers are over. So, you know, I have a career. My career is on the up and the up, you know. If Billy Joel walked into a room and Stu Finer, they would have Billy Joel hold your coat while you took a snap with me.
100%.
That's really how that would go down. I mean, sorry, Billy. You're a legend, but... Yeah, I've put out an album since 1980. Let's be fucking real. All right? Let's be fucking real. I'm still working, Bill. You're living off your laurels. You know, that's the bottom line.
Come on, guy. You know, but, I know you're cut a little bit. We're cutting
and then,
some
but
time
just
right
also
now.
With gambling being legal, you know, everywhere now in 18, you know, like I said, over the internet, 18 states and 30 states total, betting sports that, you know, that again is in my wheelhouse. That I've ate, slept, and breathed this since 1981. It's the only way I've made a living. I'm so grateful to God and so grateful that people love me. It's a you know, into Barstool Sports. Thank you, Barstool Sports.
By the
Thank
way,
you,
your role in what you guys created with Barstool Advisors is
it's their best show. By far, it's their best show. It's their best property.
And obviously, the editing is just the funniest. It's so amazing.
I mean, the whole crew from the cameraman to everybody doing. Oh, it's a family operation. It's like 20 people go into that show.
I know.
There's a lot of fucking people.
But it's incredible. It's fucking absolutely so dumb and perfect.
Funniest show ever.
Yeah, yeah. You're an absolute the fucking going bonkers with the cake at the end there, dude.
You know, because every year's been different. The first year, like I got killed. Dave was on fire. Dave pissed on me for being a fraud, and he's better than me, and he was because he hit like 60%. Big Cat even was better than me. Year two, same exact thing. Dave was like 65%. He was best year he's ever had in his life, picking at least on the show. Yeah. Couldn't lose. I couldn't win. All he did is make fun of me. You know, I gave some nice gifts, so I schmoozed him. You know, yeah. I can play the game.
How about year three?
Year three came and he hit the wall, his worst year he's ever had on the show, and I had to carry the show on my shoulders. I mean, Big Cat, you know, just likes to give out so many games. He just likes action. Yeah. He doesn't even want to win. He just wants action. So you can't even be upset at him. His record sucks because it's not even a record because it's like a gimmick. More games, let's have some fun.
So, yeah.
But, and then this year, you know, I dominated.
You dominated?
Yeah.
What was your...
I was the worst of the best. I was like 48% for the year.
Yeah.
I was like 50 and 51. But you know what it is? We're picking a week in advance. And like, for example, the last game, I won my best bet was Baltimore -3.5. But as of post time, the game was Baltimore +6.5.
Yeah.
10-point swing. I lose, but Baltimore covers because they only lose by 3. But on the show, I was -3. So there was a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it never went for me. I wish it did. But it didn't work out. Like I wish in advance I had like games every week that went for me. But it just seemed like for the entire 18 weeks grinding it out and the playoffs, like 21 weeks, like if I could get a bad line, I got the worst line possible. I didn't catch one line all year. It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, if everybody had made their picks a week out. Then it would be all that shit that happens.
And you know, the way I pick is I need to be in the captain's seat. Like Dave asked me to go to Chicago, you know, do things. I got to be in the captain's seat because I got to see if the line moves a half hour before the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to absolutely affect an opinion of mine. And especially with this COVID now, when you could scratch people and you never know when they're going to be scratched. And there used to be a rule, you know, 2 hours in advance, an hour in advance. Now it could be fucking minute. Fuck you.
Because
of COVID. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so... It's even harder, so I'm giving out games at the last minute because I want to be on, you know, the sharp side. I want to be on the money side, you know, the steam. If it comes in late, you know, sometimes the steam looked like it came in early. You jump on it. It was not steam. It was sucker money, you know, so you got to really be smart. So I like giving out games right before they go, and, you know, let's just
that's
get
your
hot.
That's when your text and emails go?
Yeah, let's just get hot.
You like beef jerky?
Yes, I do.
How about buffalo? Would you like buffalo wing flavor?
Okay.
Because I want you to try this. This is one of my new sponsors here. It's Long Beach Jerky Company. Okay?
Long Beach, Long Island?
No, Long Beach, California. This is with promo code The Big Homie, you get 20% off. But tell me how unbelievable that is. Tell me that ain't the best beef jerky you ever had in your life. That's the buffalo wing.
Okay.
That's coming out of Nebraska with some organic.
I've not tasted it yet. I've not put it in my mouth. I'm smelling it. I want to get the aroma. I want to feel the sophistication. I want to feel the substance. I want to make sure it's not a scam. Okay, first of all, it's not a scam. Second of all, it smells fabulous.
How good is that?
It's just delicious. I mean... It's very powerful, but really tastes like steak and beautiful substance.
Mm. It's good quality beef right there. And you know what I like? It's not that chewy, gummy shit that you get a lot of time. This is like a legitimate dry,
beef.
You know, dehydrated
and then it just
beef.
Melts into my mouth, exactly.
With a great flavor. I'm telling you right now, so this is the Stu Finer. You're giving this a two thumbs up over there?
Oh, big time.
All right, tell them what to do with this. Tell everybody to go out and get it. Do something. Dude, how would Stu Finer tell them to go get this beef jerky, bro?
Listen, here's the bottom line. Just like you eat your wife's pussy, you eat this beef jerky. Get over the beef jerky, your wife's pussy, beef jerky. Tell your wife sup. Ready, roll.
Yo, Big Stu, I appreciate you, man. I know I apologize. My technical skill set here on this first episode solo. My partner was the tech guy. I'm techie, but I'm a little bit out of practice. But I got us underway here. I still got us in here. Nice little 40-minute interview. You know what I mean? Thanks for taking me to Wendy's today. We went to fucking Best Buy. You picked up a new TV and a new TV. Obviously, you got to get the wall mount. You know what I mean? Personally, I'm a money saver. I would have went to the Amazon route with the wall mount. But he upsold you hard over there on the wall mount. Mm-hmm. And you went with it. Fuck it, though. You're getting a good deal on an 85-inch or whatever. They're on your wall of TVs.
I'm saving $800. I'm giving him back $300.
You sure are. Now, hit him one more time with your website. Because I want everybody to go get some shout-outs. Go get yourself some Stu merch.
1 second, folks. I'm just taking down this beef jerky. It's amazing.
Stu, I appreciate you also letting me puff some of your delicious marijuana that you had this afternoon. That was very nice.
We had tremendous bud. Tremendous bud. Bud was good. Thank you.
Yes.
Picks at stufeiner.com, stufeiner.com, and then all my merchandise and my shout-outs, which I'm so proud of my shout-outs. I want to do shout-outs the rest of my life. Shout-outs are the best thing I do. I make you absolutely cry, get on your knees, drop-dead laugh for 2 minutes to 4 minutes. You write some of it, I blend it together, or you write nothing, and I just improvise. But you're on the floor, cry funny, or you send something to someone, they cry back. You watch it forever on your phone. You back and forth to your friends. You put it in your chat rooms. It's just, you know, it lives forever. It has a thousand lives. Every time you see it, it's like the first time you saw it. And the shout-outs are BeLikeStu.com.
Hey, Big Stu Finer, thank you so much for inviting me to your house. Thank you for doing my podcast here. This is the Big Homie Podcast now. No longer guns blazing, but we're still guns blazing. From my man, Stu Finer, that's a wrap. I'll check you guys later.